Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Glad I played. I didn't know there was a dinner the night before. I didn't go, so I didn't know. Apparently it's, I didn't know there was a charge to play in the tournament. And apparently that includes the dinner. So
well, you'll call up and challenge the charge.
No, I won't. I mean, I just didn't know there was the dinner.
Well, you'll just say I didn't know, so I think you should sort of put a box together for me, so I have something to, you know.
That would be nice, right, if they gave me a box of
the pint of the ice cream, maybe.
Yeah, the chocolate ice cream.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let me deal with last night's game quickly. I watched less than half.
So you didn't get the make good on the ice cream?
No, I didn't. I didn't do it yet.
Hmm.
I'm thinking. I want to get the bill.
Well, the end
first.
Of the month is approaching.
Yeah, I want to get the bill first.
See if you hit the minimum.
Yeah. See what happens. See if I could get some ice cream. I didn't even watch half the game last night. But every minute I watched was on the Manning cast. I didn't watch. You know. And look, I think Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are really good.
Sure.
I like them personally. Think they do a great job. Happy they're on ESPN. I watched Peyton and Eli. That's all I watched was Peyton and Eli, because I wasn't that intrigued by the game.
And the game took a while to get off.
I didn't need play-by-play on the game. I don't believe in the Giants. The Giants are undefeated. Stop. Okay? Stop. And I don't think Dallas is very good. Dallas, Mike McCarthy, who everybody says is a terrible coach, went for it on 4th and 4 late in the game. 4th and 4 and made it past the C.D. Lamb, and then Lamb made that 1 or 2 yard catch in the end zone that I've seen on replay. That is, if you want to talk about catches that are made in Giants Stadium and you talk about Odell Beckham Jr., that's an Odell Beckham Jr. catch. That's a great catch. But the game held no particular interest in me. You also watched the Mannings.
So were you still with the Manning cast when they came back in the third? It was a tie game?
No.
Okay, so at this point, I saw Jimmy Johnson early, and you're always waiting, like, who's going to be the next guest? And they say a name that I'm not sure you know, Tracy Morgan.
I know Tracy
Great
Morgan.
Great physical
comedian.
Actor. Yeah.
Comedian.
And he was
Tracy
on a show
Morgan
called...
was in one of the episodes of Listen Up.
Seriously?
Yeah, Tracy Morgan was in one of the episodes of Listen Up.
Did he play my dad?
No, I'm your dad. No.
So he was on 30 Rock, and it felt honestly like an episode of 30 Rock. You sort of kept on expecting to hear, like, Shut It Down or .com and Grizz to show up in the background. He's unhinged.
He was in that terrible bus crash.
Yes.
He was.
Yeah.
So like at this point, it's just great to see him in anything.
Yeah.
And to see Peyton give up control to someone who is just a wild card. Eli's smirking in the bottom half of the screen, just going, I love where this is going. He starts making dad jokes about Tony Dorsett being his biological father and that he went to high school with Saquon's dad.
Yeah. Do we believe any of that?
None of it. Although Eli, at some point with Saquon's dad reference, goes like, that one actually might be true. He opens up by going like, I showed up in my custom Ferraris.
Yeah. So I miss that, but I find myself drawn to Peyton and Eli. And Michael, your theory about Eli is best.
I think he's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's been watching his that where he goes behind the scenes and tries to try out for the for the college football team. Chad Powers.
That's funny.
Think fast, run fast.
That was the shirt that Peyton was wearing. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was a great bit.
They are on their own out there. They do what they want. They own the production company, I guess, and they're on their own. And Peyton is smarter than everybody. He is. He's smarter than everybody. Yeah. I'm not saying he's the most likable guy in the world, because he holds to his opinions very strongly, and he is at times overpoweringly smart. You know, but Peyton is, boy, he's talented.
You can read it in his eyes as he sees a play developing, where you can see it, he sharpens.
Yeah.
I
go back to that.
When I did Monday Night Football, I really enjoyed him.
Yeah. That Saturday Night Live sketch he did.
He threw the ball at the kid. Right. It's brilliant. That's 20 years ago.
Right. That's when he said, all right, this guy's the real deal.
Oh, yeah. So I just watched that. I was going to go on and on about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant spoke. Man, let me read you a couple of quotes from Kevin Durant. I'm getting older. I want to be in a place that's stable and trying to build a championship culture. I had some doubts about that. I voiced them to Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, and we moved from there. I wanted everybody to be held accountable for their habits as a basketball player every day. I think a lot of stuff was getting swept under the rug because we're injured or this guy's not around or just the circumstances. I thought we could have We could have fought through that a little more and focused on the guys who were here a little bit more. When I went out with the injury, we lost 11 in a row, and I'm like, we shouldn't be losing some of these games that we lost, regardless of who was on the floor. Kyrie Irving didn't play.
Yeah.
You're his good friend. You didn't say this is wrong. You stood for him. He didn't play. You want people to be accountable? How about him being accountable? He was never accountable. I don't know.
And by the way, what he said at the beginning of that, where he
championship
says,
culture.
Yeah, I want to go with the stable team and with championship.
Well, how could
it
you
was have, Golden State.
Yeah, yeah. Championship culture is what happens when you leave.
You were there. You had to.
Yes, you did. No,
just, I don't know. My feeling about Kevin Durant is that he is a chronically unhappy human being. He's never happy.
Feels that way.
He's never happy, no matter what happens. He's just never happy. He says, I never walk into any GM's office or coach's office and demand anything. I come in and do my job as a player, which is to be coachable, work as hard as I can, and be available. A lot of people got that in their minds that I control everything here with the Nets. I only control my job. My job is to be a player. Their relationship, they had to figure that out on their own. I'm not the liaison between Kyrie and the organization. Well, yeah, you were. Yeah, because you said, let's play there. You know, it's Kevin Durant, when you talk about accountability, you just can't say, all I am is a player. No. That's not how it works. You're the best player in the world. The best. You're more than just a player. So
this unhappiness wouldn't have happened if he just came to D.C. for one meeting.
Yeah. I was going to say, does this help or hurt his chances?
KDDC.
I'm going to have to talk about this. Yeah, Wilbon is going to go crazy. Wilbon's going to say, I don't even want to talk about the football game. Let's talk, you know, and we're just going to go on and on. And I'm going to say it on television that he's not happy. He's just not a happy guy. Let me get to a couple of emails. It's a great email here. I told you the story about going to Needwood, running into Neville.
Right. Yes. Fantastic.
Email begins, it's Neville. And yeah, it's that Neville. You can only imagine my surprise and joy to see TK slumming with the Littles on a Saturday afternoon at Needwood Golf Course. I appreciated the effort to leverage Do You Know Who I Am to get me in your group, as I was just a single paired up with several strangers. Well, the woman in my group missed one fairway all day and could have broken 80 if she'd putted better. I played okay, and I would have broke 90 except I three-putted 18. Tough closing hole. I went in the water twice on 18. I just said, put me down for an 8. Leave me alone. Oh, yeah, she was playing the gold tees, too. However, the best thing occurred when the starter, apparently in an attempt at one-upsmanship, said to me, I see you know Kornheiser. I guess I'm going to have to bring my buddy Kevin Sheehan to play. So somebody should say, tell that to Kevin. So that's the email from Neville.
That's great. Thanks, Neville.
And another one.
I'd like more of a hole-by-hole breakdown of his round.
Yeah,
you should. We got 18, but... Yeah.
To answer Michael's question, where and how about meeting Tony Beeson, I went on the Loyal Littles podcast, episode 172. And besides telling my life story, I mentioned that I'm a traveling salesman and was leaving that Sunday, the 18th of September, to drive to Centerville, Ohio for business. Chuck and Roxy warned me with that information some Littles might track me down. Lo and behold, I'm pulling into my hotel. Tony B emails me and asks if he could come by. What was I going to say? Nope. Nice guy. Regards, DG. Just, his life is, it's an ongoing, it's like you're on the road with DG.
Yeah.
Right? You're on the road with DG. So I don't really have anything else. What do you think of Durant? You're far younger than I. Durant's a great player.
No thoughts.
What do you think of Durant?
I think he's a great player, and it just sort of baffles me that, you know, he's become this guy who, as you said, seems to have this, like, interior scowl all the time.
Why was I happy when Golden State won without him this past year? Why was I happy?
Because it was...
I mean, the guy, he goes to the Olympics. He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
He's never happy. And to somehow say, I envision him, maybe I'm wrong, I envision him sort of behind the scenes being an agitator with management. I do. And
yeah,
he says, all I am is a player. I don't know.
I think
I think LeBron is more than a player.
Of course he is.
I think Chris Paul is more than a player. I think that
I think Draymond Green is more of a player.
I think a lot of the great players are more than players. I think Antetokounmpo is more than just a player.
Yeah. When you're a guy at that level, you're not a guy just showing up and okay, I'm here to play. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So, yeah. And it's disappointing because he's so brilliant. I mean, you've never seen a player like him. He's just so good.
And he is the only player in the world that I would say this about. He is an unstoppable player.
Yeah.
He's a 7-foot-tall guy with a jump shot who's quick, who can handle the ball. You cannot stop him.
Yeah.
If he's on, you cannot stop him. Luka Doncic is almost unstoppable, but he's not as quick as this guy.
Durant's gone right by him. Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll start the show. We have Chuck Todd when we return.
We do.
Chuck Todd had a big week, 6-1. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Stephen Dawson. This is a band called Virginia Coalition that Michael has heard of, right? You've heard their music.
Yeah.
This is a song called Stella. It's a rock song, Stephen writes, from an old album of ours when we were young and cool. They're playing the main stage at the sold-out Ocean's Calling Festival in Ocean City on September 30th with Dave Matthews, OAR, and Group Love, and a bunch of other rock stars. And Stephen writes, even my kids think I'm cool. That's, you know, that's really good. Again, this is called Stella. It plays in Chuck Todd. Before we get to Chuck Todd, I have this email about Chuck from Chris Horn. It says, as a band director, back to school night can be quite the challenge, as most parents skip my talk in favor of hassling a sixth grade English teacher about why their kid isn't yet accepted to Harvard or the prestigious Binghamton University. But this year was different. A wonderful family waited until the end of the questions for the teacher line to ask, was I indeed the Chris Horn who had an email read on the Tony Kornheiser show last year? That's unbelievable. Pride filled their eyes and mine when I said, yes, I wrote the one bashing Chuck Todd for big-timing us band directors. As far as I'm concerned, that trumps a Teacher of the Year medal anyway. We have a picture of Chuck Todd hanging in the band room. Whenever a kid quits the band, one of us pats the picture and says, another one headed to cable news. Probably an easier road. When did you bash the band directors?
I don't remember. I didn't bash band directors. I said that isn't what I figured. That's what I would end up doing for a living, and I didn't want to do that.
No, it's not
I'm not bashing the band directors in my life.
Right.
Sort of got me where I am.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. By the way, Chuck Todd, 6-1. Closing.
Yes, so take that.
Yeah, closing, you know? With Dallas last night.
Hail to that.
Yeah, 6-1, 12-9 overall. Very, very good week. You have any theories as to what's going on in the NFL? The games are great, but some of these lines, the lines I'm going to give you today make no sense to me, some of them. So.
Well, look, I'll just say this. It was something, and I'm sorry I didn't notice it sooner over the weekend, but right before kickoff, there were nine games featuring home teams that were underdogs. And early in the season, there's always a week like that, and it has to do with too many. Vegas is still looking at the teams. Everybody's looking at the teams as they thought they were before the season started still.
Yeah.
Versus actually evaluating the team as they actually are. You know, and I think it was a combination of both.
Well, let's get to this. The first is a line that I don't understand at all. And Nigel changed the line on me today by a half point, and I understand it less. Miami +3.5 at Cincinnati. Miami has been, in terms of who they have beaten this year, Miami has been the most impressive team. They went into Baltimore. They took over a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter. They threw 4 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. And then they just beat Buffalo, and they're at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati finally won, and Cincinnati was close in the games they lost, and Cincinnati is pretty good. But Miami +3.5, I would run away from this game. How about you?
I'm all over Cincinnati, and here's why. So Miami plays the game they played against Buffalo. First of all, look at Miami's first 3 games.
Tough.
Right? Very physical, very tough.
Second two. Okay. Yeah.
So you have the New Ravens, England. You have New England, and you have Buffalo. So you have 3 physically exhausting games. You have that game out in the heat where clearly they just ran out of gas. You have a Miami Dolphins defense that was sitting out there for, 91 plays?
Yeah.
Right? Something like that? And, oh, by the way, this game's Thursday, and Miami was a home team in that heat on Sunday, and they have to go on the road one day of practice essentially for Thursday. That's why that line's what it is.
And you're on Cincinnati.
And I'm all over. I'll be on Cincinnati.
Okay.
For all of those reasons.
Miami.
Nothing to do. By the way, Miami could be everything you think they are, and still lose this game for all the reasons. Like, this is just a terrible spot for them.
Okay. Here's Buffalo, which lost to Miami, and by the way, could have and should have won the game. There's a guy open in the right near corner of the end zone, and Josh Allen, who's really good, short-armed the ball and went down on his knees when he did that because he knew that that could cost them the game. Mm-hmm. Buffalo travels at Baltimore. This is their second road game in a row. Baltimore has the early line leader on MVP, betting on himself, Lamar Jackson, who looks really good so far. Buffalo is the road favorite, giving away 3.5 at a good team that is unlikely to get embarrassed again like they were by Miami. Who do you take in this game?
Now, this is the hard for me with the hardest game on the board.
Right.
I think this is the hardest game because Buffalo coming off the loss. The Ravens are flying high. If I have to be honest, if I'm going to pick a side, I'm going to pick Buffalo because are they going to lose 2 in a row? You know, it's hard to imagine that's going to happen much this season. It may, and maybe this is the spot that it happens. But
right.
I'll take Buffalo, but that's the game. That, you know, we've had some terrible. We got to start flexing these Sunday night games now.
They've been bad. I mean,
they've been terrible.
3 in a row. Like the worst. Bad.
11-10. You don't like that?
Amazing. Three in a row. When you get out of the red zone on Sunday and you have this crash.
Good of that.
These
yeah.
games stink, and they look good on paper. They stink. So
yeah, it's like yeah, that's a crash, all right.
Yeah.
It's like what happened to 80s Wall Street traders. Anyway.
All right, here we go. Jacksonville, overnight by Doug Peterson, overnight has become rather formidable. They're at Philadelphia, the other 3-0 team. Miami is 3-0, and Philadelphia is 3-0. There is drama in this. Doug Peterson returns to Philadelphia, where he won a Super Bowl and then was fired because he didn't get along with the owner. That stuff happens. It's the only good hire that Shad Khan has ever made. He stinks at Jacksonville, and he made a good hire. And Doug Peterson already has Trevor Lawrence looking like a number one pick, and Jacksonville is getting 6.5. If there's ever such a thing as motivation, Doug Peterson has it, and he gets 6.5. Who do you like?
Hey, what's more likely, that Doug Peterson's one of the greatest coaches of all time or Urban Meyer's one of the worst coaches of all time?
It's more likely that Urban Meyer on a pro level was the worst coach of all time. He was not ready for it. It's not that he was not equipped to do it. He was not ready for it and did not do it, didn't even try to do it. But Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl with hello Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, and that's not happening again.
I believe if he were on the field, they would have called him a game manager.
Yeah.
I think he game managed his way to a Super Bowl win. I really want to take Jacksonville here,
can't.
But this is also feels
can't.
Like a tough spot.
Yeah, I can't.
And you're the same. You're in the same. It feels like because this is the week everybody's smelling Jacksonville. Oh, look at them. They're awesome. They're this. They're that. They're the best. Yeah, I'm on the Eagles on this one.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Denver is at Las Vegas. Las Vegas has no wins. Denver shouldn't have any wins. Denver is getting 2 on the road at Las Vegas against a winless team. Who you got?
Mark Davis, didn't he take the coach into the locker room or something? They had a private one-on-one.
Oh, is that right?
Mark Davis or something? I don't know.
Wow. Josh McDaniels has been scolded already.
Yeah,
again,
I don't know. I thought I heard this on another yesterday.
Belichick has not produced one coach in the NFL who's been great or even good. So,
but if this is not a kitchen sink game for the Raiders,
sure.
Then I don't know what it.
I agree totally.
So, and I think in fact this game opened. Raiders were getting points, and it flipped in 24 hours.
Yeah, I agree with
for
that.
What it's worth.
Kansas City just lost. Tampa Bay just lost. Tom Brady looked old until the last 3 minutes. Then he looked great. These are teams that have just lost. These are powerhouse teams. Kansas City is favored by 2.5 at Tampa Bay, which is really an injured team at the moment. Who do you like?
For all the reasons I would have been and I was on Green Bay, but I still can't believe they only scored 14 points with all those injuries that Tampa was dealing with. I, you know, unless this Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy like feud is something serious, you got to think Kansas City bounces back. That was just that's another one for with Buffalo. Does Kansas City lose two in a row this season?
It's those are very good teams. Tampa Bay can lose two in a row and still win.
Yes.
You know.
Especially that division.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, you'll take Kansas City. Mm. The LA Rams are getting two at San Francisco. San Francisco just scored 10 points against Denver.
Hey, they scored 12 if you count Garoppolo's safety.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. but San Francisco in the regular season beats Los Angeles all the time. All the time.
Yeah, they do.
So this is a bet. This is a second level bet. Will you take the Rams plus two?
The reason I want to be with the Rams is a physical late game and all of those reasons. And that just doesn't look like a team that can score a lot. And the Rams feel like a team that I guess I'm not ready to say that their hangover is over, but at some point they're going to snap out of this and they're going to have their big game. It's probably not going to be against a division rival, but I guess at the end of the day, I like taking the team getting points in a interdivisional game.
Okay.
So give me the Rams.
Okay. Well, that sets up your next pick, which I think I think you will not actually take the team getting points on this, but maybe you will. The Washington football team, a bad team, is at Dallas. At the moment, they are getting three. So if you like Dallas, because that line's going to change because of last night. That line's going to change. You can lock in. If you like Dallas, you can only give three against Washington. But you say you like taking, in a divisional game, teams getting points.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, how I talked myself into a mistake. last week. I'm not going to do that, especially, as you say, by tomorrow morning, that line will be five.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Give me Dallas. That's the Washington football team, the Washington Nationals. It's not good.
No.
Not good.
No.
And by the way, all these baseball teams are now for sale, the Angels, the Orioles. This isn't good for the Nationals. This is going to take a lot longer. Too many teams on the market.
The Nats just lost number 100 last night. Less than 3 years ago, they won the World Series.
That was humiliating against the Braves last night, by the way. It was just sort of watching, come on. It was like you find out your kid's JV team is like playing a varsity team at another school. You're like, come on.
It is hard for me to believe that the people in charge of that team will be in charge next year.
It's
hard for me to believe, but maybe.
You know, the entire pitching, coaching team from single A, rookie ball, all the way up, what they do to pitchers is some of the – they develop nobody.
I have no faith in this guy, Hickey. I have no faith in him at all. He walks out to the mound. He covers his mouth. He writes things down and takes no – it never works. It never works. Thank you, Chuck. Good luck this week.
All right, guys.
Chuck Todd, 6-1 last week. And if we gave you just Chuck Todd, that'd be enough. But we give you a monkey.
See the monkey? He's scritch, scratching. Watching his iPad, smoking and laughing. Hanging with Bud Grant, tapping on his purple attache. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the vibe spice. Sometimes he throws poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So Reginald was 1-2 last week.
Yeah.
He's 5-5 overall. Do I have that right, or is he 5-4 overall?
I think he's 5-4.
5-4 overall. He has a winning record. Everybody has a winning record. Carville was 3-2. Jeff Ma was 4-1. Everybody has a winning record.
Right.
That's not going to last forever.
No, probably not after this week for the monkey, at least.
All right,
but, you know, he is a monkey, and he's above 500.
That's right.
What more can you expect from him? So I went down to the National Zoo, and he was very excited. He's been working on this project, has not told me anything about it. And yesterday, he revealed all the details. He's launching a brand new cereal. to put out into the marketplace. It's called Monkey-O's.
Monkey-O's.
Yes, I want to get some of the data right. It says, made with organic grain and oats and free-range grubs. So
okay,
it has
grubs.
72 grams of protein in every single bowl.
Fantastic.
Yes. Monkey-O's. Mm. Have yourself a bowl.
A lot of fiber in that?
A lot of fiber,
with
yes.
With the grubs.
Yes, with the grubs. So we took a break from those plans to go over some of these matches. And the first one was the Thursday night game, Miami getting 3.5 at Cincinnati. He showed me an old faded photograph of him eating a piece of cake and then taking a nap next to Hyman Roth.
There you go.
That tells me he's got ties to the Miami area. He
Absolutely.
Will take the 3.5.
Now I know I have a partner.
The next match we gave him was Jacksonville getting 6.5 at Philadelphia. Now, based on the news he gave me about Monkey-O's, he was very excited to show me some paperwork that Waffle House is ready to be the exclusive home for Monkey-O's, including the 412 Waffle Houses throughout the Jacksonville area.
I was going to say, you can't go two blocks in Jacksonville without running into a Waffle House.
Right. Happy birthday to everyone ever born except Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah. We've got that picture.
Yes. Yeah. So that tells me he's going to take Jacksonville with this 6.5. Might be foolish, might be buying that high, but, you know, he's a silly monkey sometimes. And, of course, the last match we gave him was the Washington football team getting 3 at Dallas. And he showed me another photograph of him snorkeling in Barbados with Gary Hogaboom, Tom Landry, and Randy White.
So he's going Dallas.
He's going Dallas on this one, yeah.
He went Dallas the other day.
Yeah.
Or not Dallas.
No, he went against the Washington team.
So he and Chuck are aligned on this one.
On this one, yeah. They seem to be aligned on the Washington
Every
games.
Every once in a while. Well, it's hard to bet Washington.
Yeah, yes. Reggie's a big sell the team, Dan guy.
He is. He's collected a lot of signatures for that.
All righty. We will have Chuck Culpepper when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Virginia Coalition. This is called Bad Motivator. Stephen Dawson writes, it's a new song that we modeled after the Beatles' Run for Your Life, which has always fascinated me, particularly that John's religious comments in 1965 caused album burnings, but his fictional threats to murder his ex, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man, were not met with much controversy. Anyway, this is our take on that. But in a futuristic Star Wars setting. Too much information, I suppose. And once again, Virginia Coalition will be at the Ocean's Calling Festival in Ocean City on September 30th with Dave Matthews, OAR, and Group Love, and a bunch of other rock stars, which is very cool. Michael, if bands like Virginia Coalition want to send us their original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Chuck Culpepper joins us now, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the President's Cup and a lot about college football. You went to the President's Cup for one day? Is that what happened? Did you go to Charlotte for one day?
I did, the last day. Just the last day.
How come?
I was at two football games on Saturday.
Yeah.
Clemson at Wake Forest, and then I went to South Carolina State at North Carolina A&T nearby, and just because I couldn't. That still wasn't enough on the weekend. I went down to Charlotte for the golf, just for one day.
I'll go out of order for a second. That quarterback at Wake is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hard to tell how good he projects toward the NFL because of the scheme they run and it's different and everything, but he's terrific to watch and felt sorry for him a little bit Saturday after that effort, and then they lose in double overtime.
There's 90 points scored in that game. That must be great to watch, right? Unless you like watching 11-10 on Sunday night with Denver and San Francisco. You know,
I like a well played turnover free 17-14, but what was it? 51-45 is great to watch.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
and
what I thought.
So much skill, and also zero turnovers in that thing, which is something given the way they were, you know, throwing it around.
Let me commit heresy here by saying that on Saturday, I was actually rooting for the international team to make it close, to give themselves a chance on Sunday in the singles. And I was glad that the international team, where I didn't even know four or five of the players.
Big Thomas the Tank fan? Tom Kim?
Yeah. It turned out I didn't know him at all.
Number one engine?
Yeah, I didn't know him at all. I didn't know Munoz at all. And he was 3-0-1. So I rooted for the other team, not on Sunday, but on Saturday. Is that a terrible thing? Did you feel the same way? Because what do you need when it's, 21-2? It's just not fun.
That's not heresy at all to do that. I think there were probably even some, Charlotte really, really turned out for this thing. The crowds were incredible.
Yes.
From afar, it seemed like maybe more of a whisper of an event set against the NFL, even the Laver Cup, set against everything else that was going on in college football. But there, at the place, it seemed like a huge deal and was just reflected so well on Charlotte, I thought. And so there were people in all kinds of patriotic gear, giant eagles on the front of their shirts and all. And I would suspect that maybe even some of those for a moment thought, hey, it would help if these other guys, the international team, might win a few matches here and keep this thing from being a farce.
That's how I felt. I'm interested in your read on this circumstance, because to me it seems like a very second-rate Ryder Cup, and it's hardly ever exciting, and the Ryder Cup is usually exciting. Maybe we know those players a little bit better, but on the ground, maybe it doesn't seem like a second-rate Ryder Cup and doesn't need to be changed. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's right, and I think that's surprising. And this was the first President's Cup I'd ever been to, so I would have thought, it was way behind in terms of enthusiasm and want to and all of that from the players, way behind the Ryder Cup. But seeing it, it seemed a little bit that I saw. I just don't think that it's actually that far behind. And, one thing that surprises me is I guess there's about 197 countries in the world, so you rule out Europe, and that brings it to 150, and then the U.S. So there's 149 other countries who could be in this thing, and I think there were 7 of them in the event. But still, I always wonder, how do you pull together a team like that when the whole impetus is just, it's not the U.S. and it's not Europe, And they seem to have done that. And Trevor Immelman, the captain, seemed to have been great at that. And they refer to the shield and how they're fighting for the shield, and they've decided to fight for the shield. So I think it actually wound up with a pretty good future coming out of Charlotte, when about midway through people were, saying, oh, scrap the whole thing. And I think the emergence of golf in the great South Korea and in Japan and Thailand now and so on, I think it does have some promise for the future. It is still a sort of a toddler of events. I think it's been 28 years old.
I was really rooting for Afi Barnrat to be on the international team, just because I think he has the greatest name I've ever heard of a professional golfer, Afi Barnrat. But he didn't make it. It's too bad, because I've seen him play. Michael, isn't it your idea that maybe they could put some women in this and jazz it up a little bit, that American women and American men against international men and women?
Yeah, I felt this way for a long time, but I think there's other ways that you can get to that too. I think if you choose anchor sites in different pockets of the world, you can try and get some of that, some of the feel that Chuck is describing down in Charlotte. Adding, making this a mixed event is just one of those ideas, but you're trying to create some sort of cohesion among the participants so it doesn't just feel like it's a 20-year wait that weighs down Adam Scott.
Yeah. No. What do you think of that, Chuck?
Well, I think that's a great idea for an event, and I think it was getting a lot of momentum about halfway through that thing on the past weekend. And I think now what I hear more is people saying, yes, that's a great idea for an event, so let's have that event too and keep this event as well.
Oh, okay.
So,
that just adds more events and gives Greg Norman more targets to look at.
We need more events.
Yeah. Let me go to college football. And the lead to me, to most people would be that Georgia looks so great. But to me, and maybe to you too, Kansas is 4-0. Kansas. Kansas,
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, Kansas is historically so terrible that the only reason they're in the Big Eight or whatever that thing is called now is because of their basketball team. Because they stink. You have to go back to basically Gale Sayers to find a great Kansas football player. It's 100 years ago. How are they 4-0?
I think they have this imaginative offense with a coach whose last name has 10 letters and starts with K, so they just call him Coach K.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And they played Duke last weekend. But I think that's it. And I think, you know, because it's interesting, they've won at West Virginia and at Houston. So this is not scheduling that has gotten them to 4-0, but I think it's that offense. And then their coach, Lance Leipold, you know, he won a batch of national titles, D3 at Wisconsin Whitewater, and then went over to Buffalo for a while. And it just seems to have caught something at this moment. And I don't think people have been prepared for that offense. And this just complete delight of a quarterback, Jalen Daniels, who comes from Lawndale, California, in the LA sprawl. And every time they bring him into the media room and I watch it on tape, I'm just completely charmed. And it, the whole of it, the entire story, is the best story of the season, for sure. You're absolutely right.
I would say this, that if you beat West Virginia and you beat Houston, those are bowl teams. Those are bowl teams.
Yes.
This is not what Northwestern is doing, losing to teams that are D2. No. These are D1 strong teams, and I think almost everybody roots for Kansas. The last time they were any good at all, I think Mark Mangino was the coach. Mark Mangino was about 5'8" and 450 pounds. Do I remember that correctly, Chuck?
And they went to the Orange Bowl and they won the Orange Bowl and went, I think, 12-1 that year.
Which never happened.
All unraveled. And from 2010 on, they'd never won more than 3 games in any season. And now they've won 4 out of 4 in this season.
Happy for them. I'm happy for them. I need to ask about this, though. Yesterday, Georgia Tech, and I don't know where Georgia Tech comes off doing this and where Georgia Tech thinks that it should be in the national rankings. Georgia Tech fired its coach, Jeff Collins. They also went further. They fired the AD, Stansberry. They said, get out. He'd been there since 2006. This is the third team this year, third big D1 team that has fired a coach before we are halfway through the season. Arizona State fired Herm Edwards, and Nebraska fired Scott Frost. Maybe I've been asleep for a long time, Chuck. I don't remember this. I don't remember firings in the middle of the college football season. I don't. Is this a new thing?
Oh, no, this is about, I would say this is, I called up all the numbers last fall at some point and did a story. This is about a decade old, or maybe
really?
Half a decade old, that it's become, you know, Clay Helton at USC comes to mind. He got fired after game 2 last year. They lost at home to Stanford, and he got fired on that Sunday. And then this year, he got a job at Georgia Southern, and this year went to Nebraska and beat them, whereupon Frost got fired
right on
the Sunday after that. So it's that window that we used to have just doesn't really exist anymore. It all kind of began, the seed of it is when Arkansas lost to the Citadel in 1990. And they changed coaches right then. And that's the first time I could remember sort of feeling that, boy, that's crazy. And now the crazy, what we used to consider crazy, is considered now, you know, kind of routine. And we're already on 3 coaches this year.
It's very hard to make a case in which a college president can use the word student athletes and at the same time fire a football coach after 2 games or 3 games or 4 games. It's business. That's all this is now, right? And that's reflected in name, image, and likeness. It's just business now.
That's right. If I ever put that word in any of my stories, please call the editors, send strongly worded emails and letters, and complain.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about student athletes.
It's preposterous.
Don't want to hear about it. It's ridiculous. All right, let me get back to my original. Well, no, before I get to my original point about Georgia, I will say that the most stunning result last week for me was not Miami. I don't care about Miami. Miami's been dreck for like 5 or 6 years. They're not any good. USC almost lost at Oregon State. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, Oregon State's been making bowls. They made a bowl last year. They have Jonathan Smith as coach. He used to be their quarterback 20 years ago when they had those great teams under Dennis Erickson, one in the team that slaughtered Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. And he has been seen all along his coaching days as a really good mind and a really good coach for this era. He had been at Washington before as assistant. And I think that game is with USC, we haven't quite yet known, you know, what the caliber is. We think it's really high. We know it can be high. We know the talent is good, the new coach. But I think that game was kind of a little bit of a trap. People saw it. It was their first time on the road.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, second time on the road. But I think it was I think that game, you know, it was possible that they could lose it this early in Lincoln Riley's tenure. So I wasn't too thrown by that, and I actually was thrown by James Madison beating Appalachian State after trailing 28-3.
Yeah, we all root for App State.
Right.
We all root for them now. And, you know, anyway, let me get to my original point. And I don't want to say that nobody is Georgia, because Alabama is always Georgia. And Alabama recruits great, and they've got a great coach. But in your mind, is anybody Georgia this year?
I think Alabama is the way it's – defensive stats so far just are amazing, and even more than usual in the way that it's playing. I mean, I know the Texas game kind of made us all think that they were more gettable than usual, and maybe that's true. But I kind of expect those two to turn up in Los Angeles in January, and I kind of expect it. That's the title game site, and I kind of expect it to be really close when they do. And I kind of wonder if Alabama, you know, how Alabama thinks about last year when they finally lost to Georgia, and they think about the two major receivers they lost along the last few games. And, you know, maybe they think that we can get them this time. So, but I do think, and Ohio State is very impressive, but I do put Alabama and Georgia above everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. My sense when Alabama beat Texas was that was the closest they were going to come all year. And they leaned on a Heisman Trophy winner, and he totally delivered. Totally delivered in the last minute of the game. So
he was magnificent.
You cannot count them out. And Georgia looks great, but you'd be a fool to count Alabama out. Thank you, Chuck. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you.
Chuck Culpepper. Wonderful to hear him, and even better to read him. Even better to read him in the Washington Post. We will take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
That's Rod Laver Jr. That's a synthesizer.
Yeah.
For some reason, I remember this tune. It makes me think of sitting on Santa's lap. It makes me think of winter and going to a department store and sitting on Santa's lap.
Makes me think it's 2009 and we're listening to Owl City.
Is that what you think? All right. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
That does it for us today. But before we get to the mailbag, let me say, in a little cafe just the other side of the border, she was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to Bad Man Jose, and I knew, yes, I knew I should leave when I heard her say, yeah, come a little bit closer. You're my kind of man, so big and so strong. Come a little bit closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long. That's Jay and the Americans. Jay and the Americans is a group where the lead singer, the second time around, his first name was David, and they made him change it to Jay.
They did, yes.
Like, I think it started out with a guy named Jay Traynor,
yes.
And then it ended up with a guy named Jay Black.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really Jay, and then he became Jay. And both singers were great.
Yeah, they were
both
terrific.
Both lead singers were great. It's a great song.
Karamia, was that another
Karamia tune? Karamia Mine.
Yeah.
But the original song was She Cried.
That's right.
And there are notes in She Cried. We go, oh, my God, no one can hit these notes. Yeah. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Chuck Culpepper. It's an all Chuck day. Thanks as well to today's sponsor, Simply Safe, Butcher Box, Indochino. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review.
There was a chill in the air this morning. You know what that means.
Shacket.
Shacket season. Dad was ready to go.
I had my shacket.
Oh, yeah, go check out Johnny
O
for the shackets. And also, they have the Finney. It's a lightweight pullover hoodie. That is awesome. TK Week 1 should still be active. We'll get a new code for you for next month.
They make wonderful clothing. Your kids are the best-dressed kids in America.
Best-dressed kids in the preschool and kindergarten
Absolutely.
Demo.
Absolutely. The other kids hate them. They say, look how well-dressed they are. Well, they're not articulate enough to actually say that or think that, the other kids. From Les Kosek in Galena, Ohio, in the connective tissue of the show department, you read an email from a listener in a Cleveland suburb about Woolly Willy. I was raised in Cleveland. This summer, my daughter Elizabeth bought a Woolly Willy at a vintage toy store in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. The store clerk said it is still a very popular item. I would definitely support its future inclusion in the Toy Hall of Fame. Although this year, let's all do the right thing and make sure He-Man, Skeletor, and the rest of the Masters of the Universe gang get in. From Mark Schaefer, our friend Mark Schaefer.
Love Mark.
The Toy Hall of Fame is located at the Strong National Museum of Play, affiliated with the University of Rochester's Strong Memorial Hospital. In particular, the Golisano Children's Hospital, a renowned healthcare facility for children, where my sister happens to work as a child life specialist. The Toy Hall of Fame and Museum of Play are extensions of that institution's committed care for children and their well-being. So these are not just some chumps with a blog doling out awards. Though now I've got the idea to start a Penn Hall of Fame, BIC on the first ballot. With regards to upstate New York place names, there are essentially three kinds. Places named by homesick English or Dutch settlers, yep. Liverpool, Albany, Rochester, Hempstead, Amsterdam, Rotterdam. Places from classical antiquity, Rome, Syracuse, Ithaca, Corinth, Troy, Utica. Algonquin or Iroquois names, as spelled by the Dutch, Schenectady, Poughkeepsie, Schoharie, and Cooksackie, Mark Schaefer. That's good to know. From Adam, what? Oh, Carol said
Carol says, hi, Mark.
From Adam Perlman in Boston. The Toy Hall of Fame talk reminded me of a story. Before moving out to the suburbs, I lived in a condo building in downtown Boston. My apartment was a modest one-bedroom unit. At the other end of the hall lived a couple who had combined several units into a 3,000-square-foot palace. One day I asked someone what the husband did for work, wondering how they could afford such a nice place. Admittedly sexist. Oh, it's not him, I was told. She has the money. Her grandfather was a Hassenfeld brother. Hassenfeld and his brother had started a toy company years ago. Hassenfeld Brothers, Hasbro. Yeah, that Hasbro. Maybe you heard of it. Eat it, Milton Bradley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hassenfeld Brothers. I didn't know that.
Did not know that.
Add another unit.
Yes. From Matt Janke from Champaign, Illinois. I started listening to the pod about 2 years ago when my two friends wouldn't shut up about this old man who goes on hilarious rants multiple times a week. I've been debating how long it takes until you officially call yourself a little, and I think I found it. On a trip to Canada this past summer, I came across a sign that made me sick to my stomach. The sign, see attached picture, was a VIP spot reserved for Subaru owners right at the front of the parking lot. Mm. The VIP, of course, standing for very incredible person. My wife was disturbed by my visceral reaction, and yet I was proud because I believe my hatred of Subarus finally makes me a little. Thanks for all the entertainment you provide. Please tell Judge Baum and John Elliott to eat it. And there is a picture. VIP spot reserved for Subaru owners. Very incredible person.
Yeah, that's just more ammunition.
From Josh Cromwell. Why are people still complaining about the way you pronounce Tillamook? Have they ever heard the way you say the word donkey? You've got to learn to pick your battles, folks.
Dungarees.
From Tyler Etchenkamp in Lincoln, Nebraska. The cost of a Whopper and medium fries in Lincoln's $10.03. Surprisingly, we have 9 Burger Kings in Lincoln. P.S. My last name is pronounced Etchenkamp. You pronounced it at Etching Camp in my first red email. Don't worry, you're not the first and certainly not the last to make this mistake. It's a German name. My greetings are always two-parters. Hi, my name is Tyler Etchenkamp, and yeah, it's spelled E-C-H-T-E-N-K-A-M-P. I got Shad here.
Love Shad.
About when I thought I'd go out 10 and 8. Thanks for the fresh air. Only hope to play 10 holes. My journey ends here. And a couple of things that I think we have to get to about Steve Sands.
Oh, yes.
A couple of things.
Fantastic.
From Andrew Bajwa, B-A-J-W-A, or Bajwa. Morning, Uncle Tony. I had one goal at the TPC Scottsdale in February. Mission failed. Although I did see Sam Ryder's ace on 16, that wasn't the goal. It was truly a bummer. Fast forward to Sunday at Quail Hollow. Mission accomplished. I found Mr. Lachizery himself under a camera tower on the 18th. I hurled a hearty Lachizery his way and he came over. I asked him for a picture. He was more than happy. However, I saw it click in his head. Oh, this is a Tony fan, not just another rum-dum. He leaned in as if to give me the interview, and it was great. And there is a picture attached. There's another picture here from Andrew Green in Davidson, North Carolina. The star power this past weekend President's Cup was palpable with the players, former presidents, and celebrities. However, it paled in comparison to the opportunity to meet Steve Sands. I spotted him on the other side of 16 Green Friday, told everyone around to cover their ears, and yelled a hearty Lachizery. He raised his hand in acknowledgement, and I sprinted around the green, jumped the ropes, as one guy said, that was aggressive, and asked him for a picture. He replied, absolutely, and then was gracious with his time. As we chatted for a moment, and then again on 18 Fairway, talking with Steve was like talking to an old friend. The connective tissue runs deep. Steve Sands truly is a man of the people. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time. God.
The tear in his eye, a beginner to the broken heart. He said, Mama, no matter what glue I use, my world just falls apart. So he packed his bags and cat and hitchhiked up 95. And it was 2 a.m., the boy's eyes were red, but he could see that skyline. Stella's going up to New York City, and I'm getting the pieces stuck in my heart. She said that she don't need me this time. This time I'm falling. Stella's leaving me for someday. She got it all worked out. It ain't cool when the sun don't shine at all. There's no rest for the wicked child. And Stella hadn't slept in days. Her mind was a haze of New York City sunshine, JD and cocaine. She was just a crazy child born of the sign of a revolution. Oh, and sifted through the sand, but who knows who. And she was like, let's go downtown tonight. I need food so I don't mind dying. Please don't let me fall asleep alone. Stella's going up to New York City, and I'm getting the pieces stuck in my heart. She said that she don't need me this time. It's time I'm falling. Stella's leaving me for someday. She got it all worked out. It ain't cool when the sun don't shine at all. To New York City, and I'm getting the pieces stuck in my heart. She said that she don't need me this time. This time I'll be falling. Stella's leaving me for Sunday. She got it all worked out, and it ain't cool when the sun don't shine at all. Stella just won't slow down. Stella just won't slow down.
Thank you. drive engine should buy me some time. This bad motivator of mine. 38.6 million ways that you could have called from a colony phone. I saw the adventures you took, and it kinda looked like you're laughing at me. So you better start looking. Got me feeling fine.